Do you hear the quality
of the attitude she needs or she brings to her experience? It's wonderful. Having your moment of impatience bow in service to a larger story, really recognizing that if something is in your way, it's actually going your way. Can you remember that this weekend? What's in your way this weekend is going your way. It's the gateway to your spiritual path. Whether it be a pain in your leg or in your back, sleepiness, agitation, wandering mind, they're all gateways into arriving here into this moment. So again, we got the first word, sati, presence of mind that includes all of these qualities of awareness and allowing, this quality of seeing that's what's in your way is going your way. It's this presence of mind. Another aspect of sati is it comes from this verb sarati, which means to remember. So another aspect of mindfulness is to remember to be present. It's the remembering to come back again and again and again. We have the second part of the word, patana, satipatana. So patana is, I'm going to oversimplify it. Can be translated different words. There's an you know how scholars are, they argue about these things. It's either patana or upatana. So what happens in the Pali language is they drop letters off or sounds off of words. So it can be sometimes confusing when they combine two words. So sometimes it's this combination of sati upatana or sati patana. In terms of this patana, this word, it's very simple. It really means a foundation, or in particular an arena, or you could say a pasture within which we want to bring this quality of mindfulness. And the Buddha spells out four different areas, and they're not clear and distinct areas that are separate, but they kind of overlap. These four different areas that he encourages us to bring this quality of presence. Why does he invite us to bring this quality of presence to these areas? Because he's saying when you bring a quality of presence to these areas of your experience, it's going to lead to freedom. The different areas are, and I'm going to be going through these throughout the meditation retreat. The areas, the first one is body, just being aware of the body. And in particular, the way we're going to explore that is through sensation. And I'll talk more in detail about that this morning. That's going to be the one I'm going to be talking in detail about. The second one is something called, the Pali word is vedana, or it's translated as feeling tone, which is just noticing that each moment of experience, it has a certain flavor. Like you go into an ice cream store and there's 31 flavors. In this store of our experience, there's only three flavors. You only get three flavors. And there really is only three flavors, is that experience is either pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral. The third area is, to bring awareness, is mind states. And Buddhist psychology is a little bit different than the way we understand experience. Mental states involves emotion, so any kind of emotion that was going to arise, but any kind of thought pattern that arises too, or ability of the mind. So the mind to concentrate itself, concentration is a mind state. Or the wandering mind or a scattered mind would be a mind state. Anger would be a mind state. Joy would be a mind state. Compassion would be a state of mind. So it's quite broad. We'll go over that actually tomorrow morning. And then the fourth area is the most tricky one to talk about. It's funny, when I was in Burma, after I started studying this, I was like, wow, no wonder they simplified the fourth one because it's so difficult to talk about. The way I'm going to talk about it for the intents and purposes of this retreat is only taking one category in this fourth arena, and that's the Four Noble Truths, which is a teaching of the Buddha. You could say this fourth foundation is a way to frame all the other foundations. And I'm going to explain that. So I'm going to frame our weekend in a particular way. And again, as I'm speaking, if you need to move in the shade or stretch or do anything, feel free to do that. Sometimes we have this sense when somebody's talking that we can't move or anything. It's just not the case when I'm talking. So do what you need to do to take care of yourself. I want to briefly go over this teaching of the four foundations of mindfulness just to fit it into what you're doing here this weekend in terms of this being present. The Buddha gave this teaching, the Four Noble Truths. And if you look at the structure of it, it's a structure that a doctor or a physician or a healer would use during the Buddha's time. And they would use this four-step process to deal with a malady. The first step is to name the sickness. What's the sickness? Oh, these are the symptoms of the sickness. The second step would be to name what's causing that sickness. The third one is to point out what's going to be the cure for that sickness. And then the fourth step is what's going to lead to the cure. What's the path to the cure? This is really important to see that the Buddha is not giving a philosophical outline. He's giving a kind of medicine to us through his teaching. The first noble truth, what's the sickness? We suffer. Do you know what suffering is? Do you know what discontent is? Do you know what unsatisfactoriness is? Is there anyone here who doesn't? It's that basic human experience that all of you can relate to. It's the dis-ease that he's interested in exploring or curing. What's the cause of it? He says the cause of it is that what we do is we either grasp onto our experiences, we have this reactivity to our experience. We either grasp onto experience, we want more of it. So this would be like in terms of addiction. We feel we experience something really good and we want more of it, but then when we get lost in that cycle of wanting more of it, you suffer. You ever experienced that? Or it's the not wanting. Something's happening, like some emotion. You feel some anger and you feel, oh, I don't want to feel this. And as a result of having this reactivity to this internal experience, you suffer. Have you ever experienced that? That's the second noble truth, is the cause, this reactivity, this grasping, this pushing away towards things creates dis-ease, discontent, unsatisfactoriness. The third one, well, what's the cure to this disease? When there's no more grasping or pushing away, when those cease, there's freedom. And you might even taste moments of this on this retreat. When you're simply with your experience, when you're simply being with this moment, you might taste a quality of freedom. When you're simply here, in presence, you might notice there's a frictionless quality to it. There's a harmony. Do you know what I'm talking about? That would be the beginning of getting a taste of that. And then the fourth truth is the path that leads to the cessation of this grasping, this reactivity, this Noble Eightfold Path, where he goes through a number of different practices. The one we're going to be focusing on is this practice of mindfulness. Does this make sense? The framework. This is the frame. And I'll give a specific example when I go through sensations in the body. The first foundation, being aware, being present with sensations, body sensations. So the way I'm going to be talking about body, even though the Buddha talks about it in a few different ways, is just sensation, because it can be so powerful. And I invite you today to keep it simple, just to especially this morning, see if you can pay attention, mostly having as your foundation sensations. And there's a few ways you can contact that. I'm going to give you two different ways. One is through the breath. When you're feeling the breath, you're feeling sensations in the body. If you spend the entire weekend only paying attention to the breath, I guarantee that's going to be a very powerful weekend. It is well worth your time to spend spend a lot of time with the activity of breathing. And when you think about it, anything that you experience, whether it be an emotion or a sound or anything, actually affects the breath. It's fascinating. Have you noticed that? When you're feeling nervous, that's going to affect the breath. When you feel calm, it's going to affect the breath. As a result, when you're in contact with the breath, you're in contact with the very essence of your organism, with the beingness of your organism, just by feeling it. It's a wonderful thing to make friends with. The other way to pay attention to sensation is to scan through the body, which is just paying attention to different parts of your body. So you feel your feet, and then you could go part by part. And I'll go over the details of meditating in that way during the first walking meditation. So body scan or breath, and I'll go over the details of each of those later on. This is how we contact body sensation. And I want to point out, this area of your experience can be found in every moment of experience. Every moment, there's a chance to contact sensation, and there's going to be a reverberation of whatever you're experiencing through sensation. You might be able to become sensitive enough that when you hear the sound of a bird, you can notice how the body responds to that. Sometimes when I hear the sound of a bird, I can feel a pleasant sensation move through my body. So the world of sensation can be quite subtle. What's important is to come back to this again and again and again and simply feel sensation. This is going to make the basis for how these four foundations of mindfulness unfold. How does it lead to our freedom? How does being aware of sensation lead to freedom? I think I just want to put this in the modern context. Often in the modern context, we have disconnected from the feeling of our body, of being in our body. James Joyce wrote this wonderful short story called A Painful Case. And it's about this character by the name of Mr. Duffy. It's a perfect description of a person who lives in the modern world who's isolated and disconnected. And one description that James Joyce gives of Mr. Duffy is that he lived a little distance from his body. Isn't that a great description? He lived a short distance from his body. You might notice this, that you live a little distance from your body, and there can be something so powerful about re-inhabiting your body, remembering it, bringing it back into your experience. It gives us so much information and wisdom when we actually honor it. I want to give a short a story about this because it's going to fit in with this frame of the Four Noble Truths of how paying attention to sensation can lead to bursts of freedom or more sense of ease in this world. I remember this was a very poignant experience when I moved to Flagstaff. I guess it was 5-6 years ago. I was moving from Silver City, New Mexico, and when I was in Silver City, I was mostly what I was doing was teaching meditation, but also working with people with psychological trauma. And in Silver City, I had a wonderful clientele. So my ability to make money in Silver City was going really well. It was great. And it was after a time when it was, I'd spent many years where it was very difficult for me financially. I was just trying to get odd jobs that were not my most favorite jobs, like substitute teaching at a high school. That was a good practice for equanimity. But I didn't want to be doing that. So finally I'd gotten to this place of doing work that was somehow meaningful. And I decided to move. And so I moved to Flagstaff, but there was this nervousness. I was losing a lot of how I was making my income in terms of clientele, and I wasn't sure I was going to be able to make it in the same way. And I remember taking a walk once and simply being with the feeling of nervousness. And one caveat, I'd really done everything I needed to do to get things going. I'd done some advertising and gotten the word out. So it wasn't a matter of the practicality. It was more the matter of the emotions around it. It was so striking what happened when I sensed into my body in the feeling of nervousness, and I added this quality of being present with the sensations. What started to happen was this ease around those sensations, ease around the nervousness. It was that simple. I wasn't even trying to change my experience. I was simply being with it. That was my job. So I want to be clear what your job is to be with. And through being with it, what happened was there was this internal tightness around my move to Flagstaff that actually fell away, physically fell away. The tightness fell away simply by being aware of sensation. Do you see how sensation, something that simple, can undermine the way we are uncomfortable in this world, or we create our own uneasiness? And it was because I stuck with my job of being present with what was arising. So I want to be clear, my job was not to get rid of the tightness or to make it go away or to let go of it. That's wisdom's job. My job is to be present. And if nervousness ends up being there for a weekend or a week or a month, then it is. Wisdom comes when it's supposed to. That's not my job. My job is to surrender to being present. This makes sense? Very, very simple, of just being aware of sensation. Also on this level, sensation is a great gateway into this insight that we want, this insight into impermanence. To notice that we live in a world that changes, that flows, that moves. And you're going to notice sensation is always changing. Can you enter into that world? The more you can simply be aware of that, the more your mind and body will be in harmony with impermanence. So I'm talking about impermanence, not so much intellectually understanding impermanence. I mean getting it through your body. It's more like the wisdom that you have when you ride a bike or when you swim. Have you ever tried to, if you just think about it right now, how could you put into words what it is to ride a bike? How do you ride a bike? How would you explain that to somebody? How do you stay on a bike? Wouldn't that be a difficult thing to explain? Yet you know it. You can get on a bike and your body knows it. And if you notice, you might not ride a bike for 5 years, yet you can get on the bike and somehow your body still knows it. Or with swimming, have you noticed that? It can be difficult to teach people how to stay afloat, but yet when you get in the water, you might notice your body remembers. That's the kind of knowing that we're going for in terms of impermanence, that you get it on a bodily level. That sense of really knowing it, not intellectually, but bodily knowing it. And paying attention to sensation allows you to enter that world. Please remember, this practice of meditation is messy. So I get to be up here and explain it in a very simple, straightforward manner. To remember that the mind wanders, you have to bring it back, the mind wanders, you have to bring it back, and that's the nature of it. So what we're going to do now is, if you could just take a couple minutes to stretch and move around, and then what we're going to do is we're going to go over the refuges and precepts, and then just some practical details. So feel free to, but literally just 1 minute, just to move around.